Blog Talk Radio.
Now for all of you that are out there listening, I need you just to close your eyes. And I need you to think about your personal relationship with the Father right now. How good he's been. Let's just give God praise. It's time to worship. Oh, lift up. Lift up holy hands. Oh, you've been so good to me. All because of Jesus. You shed the blood out there on the Calvary. Witness up in here. Tiffany.
Blessing that comfort and are a part of our daily life. Cause my hands are yours, Jesus, as we walk in.
Everyone, and welcome to our morning words of encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you, and we invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our morning of encouragement is a ministry of Central Church of Christ located in Smyrna, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. He will also be presenting our words of encouragement for today. We ask that you all please stop whatever it is you are doing to find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. The song says, oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. And I'm hoping that somewhere and somehow that when you got up this morning, maybe you had a little sluggish something on your mind. And maybe today's is going to be a challenge for you. But try to find at least a little light at the end of the tunnel today. I'm hoping that some kind of way that you lean on the Lord and the Lord continues to lean on you. And, of course, we continue to lean on each other. It's amazing that of all of this support that we have around us, but we don't that we don't use it. I was noticing this year, Sister Bradshaw, she planted about 20 tomato plants out there. And when she first started out, she wasn't putting no stick in them. And you know they vines, sort of kind. And she wasn't putting no stick in them. They were just going, and they were just laying. They were just all over the place. But when you put that stick down in there, big old long stick, you cause them to grow up, and you cause them to grow like in a little bunch or something like that. Well, that's the way we are. I know you're going through your struggles. I see you. I hear you. I just want you to know that this program supports you 100%. But somewhere and somehow, you need to find some avenue to let somebody else know what you're going through. Let somebody else be of support to you. And I've always said over the years, when people talk to you about their illness and sickness and stuff like that, the person that they're talking to, you don't always have to say nothing. Because sometimes what you say leads that conversation into a whole another different direction. And so I'm more of a listener when people are talking to me. I'm more of a listener. And I don't try to comment on everything that they say or anything that's all, because the majority of the time we comment in the wrong way. Check it out sometime when you're talking to somebody and you mention something, they say, "Oh no, I didn't mean that. No, that didn't happen." And that's because you're trying to pick that conversation, and you're actually trying to act like a therapist when you are not, and you're trying to let them know that you support them and that you care by commenting. But the majority of the time, if you care and if you're supporting them, the best thing to do during the conversation is to let them talk it out first, so you can get a better view of what they're trying to say, and not just talk as they go, because you're gonna say the wrong thing, you're gonna do the wrong thing, you're gonna make the wrong expressions, and next thing you know, that conversation with me personally, sometimes I just cut the conversation off and go, I just talk about something else. Or I go somewhere else with that, what I'm thinking, because I see you, and then sometimes when we're listening to people when they got problems, you bring up so many problems that you had, that your uncle had, that your auntie had, and that don't work. They don't want to know no more about misery, as just used to say, misery love company. You don't have to keep bringing up an example. Yeah, I had a sister had that same thing, and she didn't last for about 3 months. You're going in the wrong direction with that conversation. So don't keep giving examples as they talk, and don't keep trying to chime in, because you're actually destroying that conversation. Now I'm telling you what I know. This is by experience. This ain't what's my. I didn't read this in no book, nothing else. So I just know this for a fact that sometimes people cut a conversation off. Sometimes you lead it in the wrong direction. And then you end up really not helping that person. And when it's over with, and you don't always have to bring humor to a conversation, too. I know a lot of people sometimes when they're talking and they're a little sad, this, that, and another, you think you can say something cute to make them smile. Or why don't you smile? He ain't in no smiling movement. She ain't in no smiling movement. That's why she's talking about this. And you thinking that a smile sometime is going to take away the pain and the hurt, and it does not. It bothers, it aggravates that situation. So don't try to make people laugh when they don't want to laugh. Let them pick up on that. Well, when I'm thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and when I'm thinking about what He has done for us, and we talk about obedience. When we talk about obedience, that's a very interesting word, because obedience in our behavior, that's a very interesting word, because we have changed the outlook on that word obedience. We don't think obedience means to obey. It means to give excuses. It means that we can bypass that some way and somehow. And we've gotten used to that in society. We've gotten used to that. But Jesus made an attachment to this thing. When I looked in the book of Luke, chapter 6 and verses 46 to 49, it was interesting that Jesus attaches our obedience to our blessings. He attaches our obedience to our blessings. Two things that he said. In John 14, verse number 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you see the two parts in that? If you love me, keep my commandments. The reverse of that is, if you don't love me, you probably won't keep my commandments. I mean, that's just duh. Just look at that passage. And then look. And then when you look at that, look at how many excuses we make for what we do, how we do, how our actions are. And then the next one is in Luke 6, verse number 46. And I want to show you how Jesus attaches this word obedience to our blessings. In Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Do you see obedience in that anywhere? Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Why call me Mama, Daddy, and Uncle, and don't do what I say? Okay, he appears to be attaching some kind of love with that. If you love your parents or your mama, you won't be sold. I'm gonna use this word sold because you're gonna be some, but you ought not be so disobedient to them, because your obedience shows respect for them, that you love them, and that you're getting what they say. But listen to what Jesus said. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, listen to this, and doeth them, I will show who he is like. He is like a man which builds a house, digs real deep, lay the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose and the streams beat up on that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. I noticed that whenever you're going down the highway and you see all this heavy equipment on the side of the road and they're building a new bridge or something, some kind of massive structure, you'll see this machine on the side with this big metal pipe down off in the earth, and it's just pounding on it. Boom, 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 boom. And it's going to do that until it really hits a real hard rock, solid something down on earth. Now, it may be 300 feet. It may be further than that. But that thing is going to keep on pounding until it can't pound, or until it's sufficient enough that it notices that it's done. Matter of fact, I was out in the garden just the other day, and we had planted some new tomato plants. And this time, we was going to put sticks in them early. And so we put the plants out, put sticks in there. I went and got my hammer, and I beat on that stick until it got sort of hard or wouldn't go no further. I knew I had reached my potential in trying to put that stick, and I knew right then that it was gonna stand up. When I first started, the ground was real soft, so I was just pounding on it, and it was going down. So now I got it down in about a foot, maybe a foot and a half. Well, this is what Jesus said. He said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not things that I said? But he says, if you come after me and you hear me, he says, this is what you're gonna be like. I thought about that when the pandemic hit. And not only the pandemic, but some other stuff have hit us long before the pandemic that weaken our faith, the shaking. I'm gonna use the word shaking our faith, because our faith was already weak. That's why it was able to be shaken. You didn't have the foundation that you thought you had. Then verse number 5 said, but he that hears and doeth not. Look at these passages. These passages are written for disobedient people. But he said, he that heareth and doeth not is like a man which built a foundation, he said, and down on earth. And then he says, the stream come and the flower and the rain came and everything. And he says, and immediately it fell, and the ruins of it was great. He said, why? Because it was not built upon a rock. It's because we didn't have the proper foundation. See, you need to go to, when you go to church, you need to be able to put something in. You know, some people say, well, I didn't get nothing out of church today. That's because you didn't put nothing in the church. I ain't talking about money. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about when we used to have these Gospel Advocate books, and we'd get them every quarter. I think it was quarterly, something of that sort. And you had those books. You kept those books that whole quarter, didn't free to look at them at all. When you got to church, you didn't have no comments. You didn't have nothing to say. You didn't even know what the teacher was talking about. It's that kind of a thing. It's that kind of a thing. When you go to church, have something to put it. When you get ready to sing a song, song leader stand up and sing it by himself. You know that the Bible tells us that we ought to participate in the singing. No, you come looking around. You're looking around like a cat looking for a mouse. That's what cats do, if you didn't know that. And we got some cats like that in the church. You don't go to see the Lord or to fellowship with the people that are there. You go see what's going to go wrong that day. Who made a misstep? Who made a misstep? Preacher said a passage of scripture that wasn't there. Some other person misquoted the communion or something like. See, that's what you go there for. That's why you're not getting nothing out of it. And that's why Jesus said that your foundation is so shaky that when something happens, now you're gonna quit the church. Well, I just don't like it over there. Listen, these people have never found a church, from what I can understand. Everywhere you go, you don't like that church. You know why? It's because you probably part of the problem. It's not the congregation that you go to. Look at yourself. If you look at yourself, I tell you what. If you look at yourself, the congregation will look better. If you look at your behavior, the behavior of the congregation would change dramatically, or whatever that word is. I ain't going to say that twice. And so that's what it centers around. Our view of the congregation, I'm talking about the congregation now, not the church, because we know the church is perfect, but the congregation that you attend, if you change your behavior, if you change your obedience, if you look at yourself every once in a while, you will find out that that church will look a whole lot better once you pull off them glasses of deceit, pull off them glasses of controversy. Always got something going. Ain't nothing. It just can't put you on an island by yourself, and you still going to be unhappy. It's because nobody else is around but you. So look at you. And I tell you, your congregation will take on a whole different look. And so Jesus is tying obedience to our blessings. If you want to keep on getting his blessings, keep on being obedient. Now, if you just happen to be being blessed and you're one of my honored people, remember now, the Lord makes the sun rise on the just as well as the unjust. But you won't have the same privilege I have of going to heaven if you keep on being ignorant the rest of your life. Jesus loves you. He died for you, and he's coming again. And I really, truly do hope that you have a super-duper week.